5FM, and as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we're talking to a researcher at the Research Unit of the Economics of Excisable Products at the University of Cape Town, REAP. Sam Philby, somebody who I happen to know personally as well. We haven't caught up in ages, and it's weird that we're doing it under these circumstances, but I think this is a good article, and it's getting a lot of traction, or the report is anyway, and all the articles being written about it. So Sam, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Can we start very simply and just sort of look into what this research paper that you guys published was setting out to try and determine?
Sure. So we had released an earlier Wave 1 study, which was basically cigarettes had been banned during lockdown, and we wanted to know what's happened in the market. Are people still buying cigarettes? Are people quitting? Is the public health impact what government intended? So we set out, we got about 12,200 people to respond to our survey. We published the results, and that got quite a bit of the media attention. Then we decided to do a follow-up of that study, especially because the ban extended beyond, the period of the first survey. We thought, okay, let's update these data and kind of learn from our first experience and do it better. And so we ran this survey now in June, and the results have been published, a few days ago.
I'd read as well that you've acknowledged the fact that the data sample isn't able to accurately reflect the pirate communities in parts of South Africa, but within the data set that you guys did have access to, I mean, what did you find? I mean, simply put, are less people smoking? Who's making money off all of this? I mean, what were some of the key takeaways?
Sure. So some of the key takeaways were that about 9% of the sample quit smoking, which is a great public health win. But that means that 91% of the sample, we sampled 23,300 people. So 91% of those people did not quit smoking. And of those people who did not quit smoking, 93% were able to buy cigarettes. So what that suggests is that the market is still very much at large, despite the public health gain of 9% of the sample quitting. And in terms of who's making money, the tobacco industry, big time.
How does that work? I mean, based on what you know, have people just found loopholes and they're working around them? And when you say the tobacco industry, I mean, which sort of players?
So what we found basically is that the price of cigarettes has increased by 250% since before the lockdown. So that's a very high price for a commodity, and someone's supplying that commodity. Who's supplying it? Tobacco companies. And how do they do this? Well, since lockdown level 4, the government has basically said that you can produce cigarettes domestically, but you cannot sell them here. You have to only produce for export. So what companies essentially do is they produce for export, and I'm using quotation marks. They either ship the product out and get it smuggled back in, or they just produce it for export and let it leak into the domestic market. So there's been a bit of a loophole that tobacco companies have rationally exploited, given that people are willing to pay such high prices for cigarettes.
And can we make a prediction? One friend of mine, a journalist, was saying this at the beginning of lockdown. She's a criminal reporter, and she said when you create an illicit market, even if you remove restrictions after the fact, it's not necessarily going to go anywhere because it's become embedded to some extent. Can we make any predictions around whether or not the market's going to, if they remove the ban, if the market would just go back to what it was before all of this?
For sure. So something that's definitely happened over this period is that the illegal market has become more entrenched in terms of its distribution networks, in terms of how money flows to and between players. So what we're predicting for after the sales ban is that once the ban is lifted, that there'll be a price war. And why will this happen? Well, basically, the multinational companies like your Philip Morris, your British American Tobacco, have been losing out in a big way to the non-multinational companies. So, for example, your Gold Leaf Tobacco Company, Carney Link, Best Tobacco, the more local players. So once the ban is lifted, the multinationals are going to try and claw back some of the market share they lost, while the multinational companies are going to try hold onto the market share that they've gained during this lockdown period. In order to compete, they've got to lower prices. They have to be competitive relative to one another. And when cigarettes are cheap, more people smoke. So that will be detrimental to public health. So not only are the illicit networks more entrenched as a result, but it's also, we expect prices to decrease substantially.
And with this, I mean, at the moment, have you guys been able to sort of work out what the average price that people are paying for cigarettes is at the moment?
Yeah, so it's about R5.67 for a single cigarette, or about R114 per box. But that depends on whether you're buying a non-multinational company brand or a multinational company brand. So for a multinational company brand like your Philip Morris or your Bass, you're paying R6.30 a sip, so about 126 rand per pack of 20. Whereas for a domestic company like Goldleaf Tobacco or Conilink, you're paying R5.57 for a stick of cigarettes, which is about 111 rand per pack. So, you know, it depends on who you're buying, but on average, prices have increased by 250% between the pre and during lockdown period.
Did you guys look into the tax implications? We talked about clawbacks earlier, multinational companies looking to claw back the money after the fact, you know, when the market sort of, if it re-regulates at some point. There's also been a lot of talk around, you know, sort of the loss in sin tax collections as a result of the cigarette ban. Did you guys look into that yourselves?
Yeah, well, basically, excise taxes on cigarettes and tobacco products generally make up a very small part of government's total budget. But at the same time, you don't want to be throwing that money away. So what we believe would have been a more effective strategy is for government to simply increase the excise tax on tobacco products rather than banning their sale. Because the main difference between those two policy scenarios is that currently the government loses all excise tax revenue to the tobacco industry. Like the tobacco industry is the ones profiting off this. Government is completely missing out. Had they instead, you know, accrued the taxes themselves, they could go some way, at least, towards bolstering the desperate financial state of the South African economy.
It's interesting, really and truly. Sam Fulby, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Nick.
Inchie. Five Drive on 5FM. Hey, I'd be very interested. Let's do our own survey right now, if you're listening to this afternoon. I would never want to cast any aspersions on you, and I wouldn't want you to do that of yourself or anything either. But let's say allegedly, right, if you're going out and you're buying, right, and let's call them for the sake of send a voice note through to me, but you can call them lollipops, right? If you're buying lollipops at the moment, how much are you paying? Yeah, give me a sense of that so we can throw the net out and we can sort of see what comes back. But a very interesting interview nonetheless, and it's already on catch up, 5fm.co.za. If you're out on the roads, here's BB.